Today's podcast is brought to you by Newspapers.com, the ultimate destination for exploring the mysteries of the past. If you're fascinated by true crime, get ready to dive into the stories that made headlines. Newspapers.com offers a billion pages of historical newspapers from the U.S. and beyond, and you can search the entire collection in seconds. Their vast newspaper collection is a goldmine for eyewitness accounts, crime scene photos, news reports, and more. Whether you're interested in famous crimes or long-forgotten cases, Newspapers.com gives you a front-row seat to more than 300 years of history. For our listeners, Newspapers.com has a special offer. Use the code CUPOFMURDER for an exclusive 20% discount on your subscription. That's promo code CUPOFMURDER at Newspapers.com. Sign up today and start unraveling the true crime mysteries that keep you up at night. Sometimes going to the grocery store can be chaotic. There doesn't seem to be enough time to check the list, make sure everything is there, search for the best prices, and take the time to make sure you got the best quality meat. So let ButcherBox help you out. Giving you peace of mind, ButcherBox delivers high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust straight to your door. No grocery carts required. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or hormones, 100% grass-fed, free-range, and crate-free. What more can you ask for? What about free shipping, customized box plans, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, tips, and tricks? You really can't go wrong with ButcherBox. Sign up at butcherbox.com/morningcup and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/morningcup and use code morningcup to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
A scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird...
Morning. Cup of murder.
Desperation to catch a killer can make investigators blind, sometimes willingly so, to their glaring mistakes. On August 19, 1985, a woman became the first victim of a serial killer that, at their conclusion, took the lives of nine women. A case that, though a man was placed behind bars, remains unsolved to this day. So, if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. On August 26, 1985, the body of 52-year-old Helen Patton was found lying half-naked in a train yard in the Frankfort area of Philadelphia. According to the transit workers who found her, Helen was lying in what was described as a provocative manner. And, according to the police and forensics, she had been stabbed 47 times days earlier on August 19th in an attack that was so vicious, some of her organs were left exposed. What they didn't know at the time was that Helen was just the first of what would be a total of 9 deaths attributed to a serial killer that they would later call the Frankfort Slasher. The next victim came on January 3, 1986, when, just a few miles from where Helen was found, police were called to examine the brutalized body of 68-year-old Anna Carroll. She was found lying on her bedroom floor, nude, posed, stabbed 6 times, and gutted. The weapon, a kitchen knife, was still inside of her body. Almost a year later, on December 25, 1986, victim number 3, 64-year-old Susanna Olzeff, was found. And it was at that point that police made a connection between all 3 women. According to those that knew them, each had been a regular at Goldie's Bar on Frankfort Avenue, an area that, in addition to being known as the center for nightlife, also had a bad reputation for drug use and criminal activity. Just 14 days later, 28-year-old Jeanne Durkin was found beneath a storage truck just off of Frankfort Avenue. She had been stabbed 74 times, was naked from the waist down, and was posed in a provocative position. She, like the women before her and the women who would come after, was sexually assaulted during the course of her attack. Jeanne, police soon learned, was homeless and frequently slept in the entranceway just a few doors down from Goldie's Bar. It was at this point the police could no longer speculate and finally realized that they had a full-blown serial killer on their hands. But, wanting to keep from scaring the public, police kept this piece of information to themselves and swore to the media that there was no active serial killer in the Frankfurt area. Whether by coincidence, fear of capture, or anger at the denied credit, the still unknown killer laid low and didn't take another victim for the next year. It wasn't until January of 1987 that he picked up and took the life of 29-year-old Catherine M. Jones. Now, though some dispute Catherine's connection to the other victims, her murder did seem to add another piece to this growing puzzle. Prior to her death, Catherine was seen drinking with a man that some believed may have been her killer. A witness was able to describe him well enough for a sketch, but no new leads came into the police. Months later, on November 11th, 1988, 66-year-old Margaret Vaughn was killed in what was becoming a very familiar manner, and police, hearing that she too had been seen drinking with a man at Goldie's Bar, could no longer deny what was happening in their city. They created the sketch and released it to the public, asking for help in solving their case. While they did so, 30-year-old Teresa Sciortino was killed on January 19, 1989, in her apartment just outside of Frankfurt. She had been stabbed 25 times with a kitchen knife, and lying next to her body was a 3-foot section of wood that was used to sexually assault her. She, too, was a regular at Goldie's Bar. With absolutely no progress, nor any valid tips, police were left either waiting for the killings to stop or for another unfortunate victim. That woman was 46-year-old Carol Dowd, who lost her life in April of 1990, almost 5 years after the first victim, Helen Patton, was killed. She was found in an alley near a local fish market and had been stabbed 36 times. She, like Teresa Sciortino and Jeanne Durkin, had spent the last few years in and out of psychiatric wards, so police immediately connected her with the other victims. So it became extremely exciting when, for the first time since the murders began, police actually came up with a suspect in this case, a man named Leonard Christopher, who worked at the nearby fish market. Not only did he work near the crime scene, but Leonard admitted during the police interviews that he actually knew Margaret Vaughn, one of the Frankfurt slasher's previous victims. He was also a man who did not have an alibi, so on May 5th, 1990, police arrested Leonard Christopher and charged him with Carol Dowd's murder. While they speculated that he was their slasher, Leonard, a black man, in no way fit the previous sketches created by witnesses and had no links to any of the other murders. Despite this and the strictly circumstantial evidence against him in Carol Dowd's case, he was sentenced to life imprisonment for Carol's murder and died of cancer while behind bars. He remained a suspect in the eyes of many in the Frankfurt cases, despite the fact that, just 5 months after Carol's body was found and while Leonard was securely behind bars awaiting his trial, the ninth and final victim of the Frankfurt slasher was brutally killed inside of her apartment. Michelle Denner, 30 years old, was killed on September 6, 1990, 3 months before Leonard was convicted and sentenced. She had been raped and stabbed 23 times, posed, and lying with her intestines pouring out of her body. She, too, was a former psychiatric patient, lived just blocks away from previous victims, and was a regular at Goldie's Bar. A day before her murder, she had been seen in the company of a middle-aged white man who fit that original police sketch of the killer. Despite the obvious connections between Michelle and the previous victims, Leonard's case remained unchanged and he was sent to prison, with many still calling him the Frankfurt Slasher. While there have been no other victims attributed to the slasher, no new clues have come to light either. Modern investigators, when looking into the case, say none of the evidence pointed to Leonard Christopher being the Frankfurt slasher, meaning the case, unfortunately, is still a cold one. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to hear what terrible thing happened on August 20th. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and let me know how you like it. If you want to help support the podcast, there's always Patreon, or just sharing it with your true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.